Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Tax is a certainty of life. We all have to pay it. But what exactly is it? Essentially, tax is a way of gaining money in order to fund and invest in things that will benefit the people who pay it. One of these taxes is council tax. Council tax is a form of local taxation that's collected by local authorities based on domestic property. It's used to provide other parts of the council with funds in order to pay for services in your area, like bin collections. The amount of council tax that's paid is dependent on various factors, just like all tax. However, failing to pay it, or avoiding it entirely, can lead to worse, more financially demanding consequences further down the line. Some people and properties are exempt from council tax, or they're entitled to a discount, but the majority of people will have to pay the yearly fee. So how does it work, and what comes with it? Across the UK, there are many different councils. The way our government works is that we have a structured local government, however, this varies from location to location. For example, in England, most of the time, the structures are split into two tiers. These are county tiers and district tiers. The council's responsibility of which is divided between the two. However, this is only most of England. In predominantly metropolitan areas like London, there's only one tier, and it's the council's duty to provide services for the entirety of that area. In England alone, there are 333 local authorities split into five different types. Let's have a look at them and what they do. To start off, let's look at what we were just talking about, county councils. Councils like these are the ones that you've most likely heard of. For example, Worcestershire County Council. There are 24 county councils that are split into two tiers, with each of them providing services like education and sewage management to the areas that they cover. However, these county councils can be split into district councils. District councils are similar in that they operate and deal with matters in specific areas. It's only the areas in question are much smaller. Obviously, managing an entire county can be rather difficult. Therefore, breaking the county up keeps the areas running smoothly. Only in two-tiered areas will you find district councils. There are 181 of these, and they will deal with localised issues. Things like planning permissions and applications for new buildings in the area will be approved or declined by the district council. Essentially, the district council acts almost like a buffer to the county council. Next up, you have unitary authorities. Unitary authorities are mainly found in cities or large urban areas. Unlike county and district councils, however, they'll provide all of the local governmental services in a specific area. Although they are predominantly found in cities, there are now six Shire County Councils that are unitary, and therefore do not need to split the county into districts. But this doesn't mean that cities aren't split into districts. Metropolitan districts act just like district councils in the Shires. They're set up and help run and provide services for large urban areas. In total, there are 36 metropolitan districts, which cover six large urban areas, including the counties of Greater Manchester, South Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, Tyne and Wear, Merseyside, and the West Midlands. Whilst they mainly deal with all of the services in the specified areas, certain aspects that are more universal, like the emergency services, are provided with joint effort. And finally, you've got London boroughs. Just like district councils, these are designed to provide services for specific parts of London. There are 32 in total to help manage the near 9 million residents. However, the GLA, also known as the Greater London Authority, provides the entirety of London with services like transport, meaning that council tax that's paid doesn't go towards this and instead is used for funding other areas. This is understandable given the size and scale of London. London's also the capital of England and one of the most visited and well-known cities in the world, so it's fitting that it should have its own council system. In essence, council tax provides your local area with funds to make sure that the area itself is running smoothly, has updated attractions, and offers services to the residents of the area, housing, leisure facilities, environmental services, and many more are all part of what council tax covers. So how much will you have to pay? And more importantly, how do you pay it? Well, council tax, like all taxations, is dependent on a variety of different factors. In order to work out how much you'll have to pay, you'll need to figure out a few things beforehand. The first thing to do is to work out which band of council tax you're in. Across the UK, there are varying bands, so it's important to know which band specifically applies to you. In England and Scotland, there are 8 separate bands, ranging from band A, the cheapest, all the way to H, the most expensive. In Wales, there are 9. However, rather than just have one band that's more expensive and elite, the entire cost increases. In England and Scotland, the A band is valued at up to £40,000, but £44,000 in Wales. The most expensive band in England and Scotland is more than £320,000, but again, in Wales it's more expensive, coming in at more than £424,000. The way in which your band is figured out is by the VOA. This is the Valuation Office Agency. They will determine which band your property belongs to, and by association, the cost of your council tax by valuing and making assessments on a variety of different sectors of your property. These include the size, the layout, the character, the location, and the change in use. Now, this is important given that council tax is based on the land itself rather than what the land is used for. If you've converted a house into flats, then your band could be changed depending on whether the VOA deem your property and the earnings of it to be placed into a higher band. Of course, for a lot of people, whatever band you're in could be a considerable amount of money. Now, in order to combat paying this in one lump sum, they'll be able to split it up over several months. This allows you to manage your budget better and not be so quickly out of pocket when the time for paying comes. Another factor that comes into the price of your council tax isn't just the property, but you yourself. For example, you might be able to get a tax reduction if you're unable to pay because you've got a low income. If not this, then it could be because you have disabilities, and therefore finding an income in the first place is hard. Or you're a student living with other students. Of course, the government and the councils do allow there to be changes and reductions, but if you don't qualify for them, then you'll be taxed in regards to your band. But as mentioned earlier, if you fail to pay your council tax without a good, understandable, or reasonable explanation, then things can quickly spiral out of control. So let's say you fail to pay. What happens next? Well, firstly, you'll get a written reminder 2 weeks on from the council. This can come in the form of a letter or an email, or sometimes even both. Here, you'll have two options: pay or don't pay. If you do pay, then the debt is cleared and you'll be able to go back to your regular instalments. But what if you don't? Well, if you fail to pay after 7 days, or it's your third time being late with a payment, then you'll get your final notice. This final notice is an insurance to the council that they will get their council tax from you, and they do so by asking you to pay the remaining council tax that you owe within a week. Again, paying can resolve you from this issue. But let's carry on down the path of not paying instead. What happens next? Well, given that you will have received multiple warnings and notices by this point, the council will usually apply to the courts, where they will ask for permission to collect the debt from you. This is what's called a liability order. The council, with permission from the courts, can also get your employer to pay your debts by taking money directly from your wages, or they can take money from elsewhere, like your pension or universal credit. If all this still isn't possible, then what they might do is send a bailiff round to your property. A bailiff is someone who deals with courtroom safety, as well as acting as sort of an enforcer on behalf of the courts. Should a bailiff come to your house, they have the right to gain entry through force, and once in, might start to compile a list of assets that you own that they can gain custody of, acting as payment towards the council tax. If this happens, and it goes to court, then you will have to pay the court fees, as well as the bailiff fees, on top of your existing debt. This, unsurprisingly, quickly adds up to be rather expensive, and this is not only why your council tax is important, but why it's important to pay it on time. Council tax does a lot for us. It makes the area in which we live a nicer place. This is why it's a good thing to have. But it's important to know what you're paying for, how you're paying, and how much you're paying. Understanding these small things can go a long way to help ease your mind when it comes to council tax. There can be lump sums when it comes to taxes, so make sure you know what you're paying.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.